come over here? Because I feel like behind that lectern, there's a whole pile of people that I can't see. You might be quite happy not seeing me, but I'm not happy not seeing you. So I'll come over here this morning. Right. We've got a few things to get through before we begin our worship time this morning, and I apologise for taking time to do this, but we've got quite a few intimations. Now, yesterday was a really busy day in the life of our church. It began in the morning with the coffee morning along the road, and the singing waiters were in fine voice, were they not? I thought they were fantastic yesterday, and everybody worked very, very hard. A great team of people made yesterday morning possible and successful. And just to let you know that £1,062.01 were raised yesterday, and this money will be divided between the Cyrenians and the Sue Ryder project. So that's a fantastic start to our Christmas offerings for them. Not only was there singing along at the Kirk Centre, there was singing along at Drum yesterday, the Means of Drum. The choir were out there entertaining the folk, having their lunch and doing their Christmas shopping. And they too had a very successful time. Not only did they bring joy in their music, they raised £239.51, which will go to Christian Aid. So again, a big thank you to them for that. And in the afternoon, we were busy yesterday. It was such a busy day. In the afternoon, you all had your Christmas party, didn't you? Those of you that were able to go, and it was a fun afternoon there. And Carol, I think, probably went home, put your feet up. Yeah. Right, we're looking for some volunteers to do a number of things over the coming week. And so Anne Middleton has been busy filling her rota for the Christmas Tree Festival, but there are a few gaps, and I'm going to let you know what the gaps are, and I wonder if you could consult your diaries, and if you're not doing anything during these gaps, would you be willing to come and be part of the welcome team here during the Christmas Tree Festival? So the first gap that we're looking to fill is Wednesday. Oh, no, we've got that one filled, sorry. It is Wednesday, later on Wednesday. Wednesday between 5 and 7. We do have someone down for being there, but it'd be nice for them to have some company. So, Margaret, I'm sure we'd like some company, wouldn't you? Yes. So if you're not doing anything on Wednesday between 5 and 7 and think that you would like to come down, and you get the best view of the trees at that time of day, because it's dark, completely dark outside, and the trees will be looking stunning. So that's on Wednesday. And the same again on Thursday. Sheila, I think, would probably appreciate some company at the same time on Thursday, Thursday afternoon between 5 and 7. And then the next time we're really looking for help is at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We've no one. No one down at all in the rota.
There's one in now.
Oh, you've got one now. So we're just looking for one person that's excellent. Anne's obviously been twisting a few arms. So Saturday between 1 and 2 and 3, and then between 3 and 5, we could also do with an extra person here to keep Marjorie company at that point. So that's next Saturday afternoon between 1 and 3, or between 3 and 2 and 3, sorry, and between 3 and 5. And then fast forwarding to our last session of the festival, which is next Sunday afternoon, later on, between 5 and 7. I'm sure Maureen would quite like some company. So those are the times we're looking for, is Wednesday and Thursday, 5 till 7, Saturday, 2 till 3, 3 to 5, and then Sunday, 5 to 7. So if you're free at any of those times and would really quite enjoy sitting in the church, then please see Anne afterwards. She'll be through in the hall. Another wee job I'm looking for a couple of folk to help with is that the cluster group of churches have produced a Christmas leaflet which shows all the services that are going on in all six of the cluster group churches over the next couple of weeks. And the idea with this leaflet is we're going to go up to the Count as Wells development and leaflet drop there on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So if anybody fancies a wee walk around the Count as Wells development next Friday afternoon for about an hour, 2 till 3, you'd be very welcome to join us. We're going to meet around the Stuart Milne sales room. So if anybody would like to come and join me, let me know. And we've got leaflets to go through all the doors of the new houses up there with all the services. And when you see the list of services that's going on over the next few weeks in all the churches, it's quite incredible. So that's that. Right, done that. Right. Now we can get on to the normal intimations. you've got your order of service sheet there with the intimations. Just going to highlight three things. One is Tuesday evening. We have our Blue Advent service on in the evening. A service just to take time to pause and recognise that not everyone might be looking forward to Christmas. That there are maybe things in our lives that are causing us some concern, some upset, some worry. And this is an opportunity to come, be together for a quiet, reflective service, to acknowledge these things, to then enable you, hopefully, to find some peace and some hope and some joy in the season ahead. So welcome to anybody who would like to come along on Tuesday evening. Then on Thursday, we have our Messy Church Christmas party, and that's in the hall between 4 and 6, and we'll be visiting the Christmas Tree Festival during our time together. And as always, anyone's welcome to come along, but any children need to be accompanied by adults. But we're going to have a bit of a Christmas party. And then on next Saturday night, we've got a great movie. Well, Abby tells me it's a great movie, so it's Abby's fault if this movie isn't a great movie. But we're going to watch The Greatest Store in the World. And it's a lovely family film, and it's on at 7 o'clock next Saturday evening. There'll be some ice cream and popcorn and juice as normal, some mulled wine and maybe some mince pies if you want to come. Normally, we will watch half the film and then have a break and move on. But the film's only an hour and 20 minutes long, so we'll just watch the entire movie and then have our mince pies and things afterwards. Anybody would be welcome to come and join us for a lovely movie. It was made for the BBC, so it's a great family film next Saturday evening along at the Kirk Centre. And that's all I'm going to talk about now, because we're really here to worship God. Find my order of service underneath all my papers. A fresh start from an old root, a new shoot from an old trunk, a spoken hope from the silence of heaven. May we gather round that which enlivens our longing, that breathes into incarnation and sets free the word of life, in this season, for this time, in our now, let us worship. We sing 273, O come, Emmanuel. turn now to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of impossible possibilities, this of all seasons is a time for hopeful waiting and the dreaming of extravagant dreams. We look forward in these long dark winter's night to the coming of the light. We look forward in the days of barren emptiness to the excitement of new birth. Living as we do and as the prophet did, in a time of uncertainty and chaos, we can allow ourselves a moment or two to dream with him of a peaceable kingdom where the powerful ones are gentle and the vulnerable ones completely safe. God of fanciful visions and grounded reality, we know that such a world can never literally be, but perhaps imagining it will spur us on to make some changes in the way we live in this one. Forgive us not our killing of animals for food, but our careless disregard for how these animals are forced to live. Forgive us not our use of the world's resources, but our careless disregard for the needs of future generations. Forgive us not for wanting to protect our children, but for our part in creating the dangers that deny them the freedom that we enjoyed. O God, we wait eagerly to see a fresh new shoot spring up from the stump of all that is dead and decaying in our lives, our church, our world. We are less keen on letting you wield the axe that will get rid of all the old dead wood and clear the way for growth. As we prepare to welcome the promised one, who will rule with wisdom and fairness, prepare us, we pray, for the changes you will need us to make. Lord, hear us as we come and pray together the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I brought a little friend with me today. Oh. Like my little friend. Do you want to come and see it, Abby? Do you want to all come out? Because we can... Is it a penguin?
Is it a penguin?
Do you think it looks like a penguin?
Yeah.
What did
I
stop?
I didn't see the red tummy.
Ah, so it's got a red tummy. So what does that make it? A robin. Indeed it does. Indeed it does. Right. So I've got a story for you today about a little robin red vest. Little robin red. Do you want to hold on to it? Oh, you. Right, you. Abby can hold. Right, so we've got a little story today about a little robin. And it's a lovely story about a little robin that does something really very nice. And we'll see if people agree that it's a nice thing. Okay. Once upon a time, there was a little brown bird, and his name was Robin. And this is his story. It was a week before Christmas, and little Robin was getting very excited. He washed and ironed 7 warm vests for the frosty days ahead. He put on his white vest and set out to skate on the pond. On the way, he met Frog. "I'm so cold," said Frog. "Can you help?" So what do you think Robin did? No, we'll find out what the Robin did. Little Robin gave Frog his little white vest. "I've got 6 vests left," he said, as Frog hopped off happily. 6 days before Christmas, little Robin put on his green vest and dashed out to play in the snow. Down the path came Hedgehog. "I'm freezing," she said. So what do you think he did?
Gave her the green vest.
So little Robin gave Hedgehog his green vest. "I've still got 5 vests left," he thought, waving goodbye to his prickly friend. 5 days before Christmas, little Robin put on his pink vest and went to look for worms. He hadn't gone far when Mole appeared. "Brr, the ground's too hard to dig and I'm chilly," he complained. So what do you think he did? Little Robin gave his pink vest to Mole. It was a bit tight, but Mole didn't mind. He was nice and warm. "Four vests left," thought Little Robin. 4 days before Christmas, Little Robin put on his yellow vest and flew up to sit in the tall oak tree. Who did he see up there? Can you see? Eh? A squirrel. And that's where he met Squirrel. Oh, wait a minute, I've turned too many pages. Oh, that's where he met Squirrel. "I'm so cold I can't sleep," Squirrel grumbled. And Little Robin handed over his yellow vest. Only 3 vests left now, he thought, as Squirrel dozed off. See what happens the next day. 3 days before Christmas, Little Robin put on his blue vest. And he was swooping down through the clouds when he saw a rabbit on the hill. "I'm so cold, my teeth are chattering," shivered Rabbit. So guess what? Little Robin gave Rabbit his blue vest. "Well, I've still got 2 vests left," he said to himself as Rabbit went cheerfully on his way. 2 days before Christmas, Little Robin put on his purple vest and skipped along the riverbank. Next to the river stood Otter with her baby. She was very unhappy. "My baby," she said. Little Robin's purple vest was just right for baby Otter and made him feel much better. "Oh dear, I've only got 1 vest left," thought Little Robin. On the day before Christmas, Little Robin put on his very last vest, a warm orange one. He'd been walking and whistling to himself for some time when he met a little mouse shivering in the garden. Little Robin felt so sorry for her that he took off his last woolly vest and pulled it over her chilly ears. Now, it was late on Christmas Eve, the snow was falling, and poor little Robin had nothing warm to wear. There was nobody around to help him, and it was a long way from home. And he fluffed up his feathers as best as he could and huddled miserably on a snowy roof. Soon he fell fast asleep. Not even the sleigh bells woke him. What's going to happen now? Or the crunch of snow under 2 heavy black boots? Large hands scooped little Robin up and tucked him into a soft white beard. "You had better come with me, my lad," chuckled a gruff, jolly voice. Who's that that's come to look after Robin?
Santa.
Let's see what happens. "This is the generous little fellow I told you about," the man said to his wife. "He must have a very precious, special present then," she replied. And with little Robin snug and cosy in her lap, the lady set to work. She pulled a thread from a big, bright red coat, and with it she knitted a tiny vest. It was a perfect fit for the little bird. "I'm very proud of you," said the man with a smile. "You gave away all your warm clothes to help other people. You're full of the Christmas spirit. Now it's time for your present. This vest is very, very special. It will keep you warm forever. And when other people see you, it will make them feel warm too." It was time to go back across the skies as the sun rose to kiss the land. Little Robin was very happy. His chest glowed as red as a reindeer's nose. And soon little Robin was home. "Merry Christmas," cried the man as he flew off. "Goodbye and thank you," little Robin shouted back. It was Christmas morning. Boys and girls everywhere were opening their presents. And little Robin flew to the very highest branch, proudly wearing his new red vest, and sang out sweetly to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And that is a story that tells us how the robin got his red chest. Did you know that? No. So he's got a bit. And it's true what it says in that story about how when we see, can I borrow my robin again? How when we see a robin with his little red chest, he makes us feel good, doesn't it? That when we see a little robin, we always feel cheery, don't we? Always feel cheery. But that story was about much more than the robin getting his little red chest. But it was a story about someone who was generous and kind and giving. And he's got a red Santa hat as well. Have you seen a robin with a red Santa hat before?
No. Yes, I think that's the reason she's saying yes.
She can see this one there, okay. Yeah, so the story about the robin was so kind and generous and shared what he had with all those people he needs. And that's something that we need to be thinking about in the run-up to Christmas too, that as much as we're having lots of fun in our parties and our games and things, not everybody's in the same position. So if we can smile a little bit more, if we can think about how we can give and help a little bit more, then that will make somebody else's Christmas wonderful too. Okay, now, in the long list of intimations I gave you earlier on, I forgot to give a shameless plug for the Christmas cards that the girls had designed for us. It seems like ages ago they were designed, but they finally arrived in the church office this week. And so there are some through in the hall if you're looking to buy some Christmas cards still. And we've got the three designs here. We've got Annie's design is the one that's... Yeah, which is the one that won, and that's on the front of the magazine, and a card with that design has gone into every house up at the new Friarsfield development and beyond. Bill was very busy this week doing that for us. There was Felicity's card and Isla's card. So if you want to buy some of these cards, they're through in the hall afterwards. £2.50 for a pack of five, bargain at half the price. So that would be really good if we could get those sold. That would be absolutely fantastic, wouldn't it? Right, are we going to sing a song? I can't even remember what we're meant to be singing next. It's 749, which is... Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Oh, am I getting to keep my robin? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. We're going to sing 749 in our hymn book. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Girls, do you want to step away from the candles? Look.
Thank you. Our first reading today is taken from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. Hear the word of the Lord. The royal line of David is like a tree that has been cut down, but just as new branches sprout from a stump, so a new king will arise from among David's descendants. The Spirit of the Lord will give him wisdom and knowledge and skill to rule his people. He will know the Lord's will and honor him and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or hearsay. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity. Wolves and sheep will live together in peace, and leopards will lie down with young goats. Calves and lion cubs will feed together, and little children will take care of them. Cows and bears will eat together, and their calves and cubs will lie down in peace. Lions will eat straw as cattle do. Even a baby will not be harmed if it plays near a poisonous snake. On Zion, God's sacred hill, there will be nothing harmful or evil. The land will be as full of knowledge of the Lord as the seas are full of water. A day is coming when the new king from the royal line of David will be a symbol to the nations. They will gather in his royal city and give him honor. And our New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. At the time, John the Baptist came to the desert of Judea and started preaching. "Turn away from your sins," he said, "because the kingdom of heaven is near." For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Thank you, Philip. We continue in our worship by singing hymn 334, "On Jordan's Bank, the Baptists Cry," hymn 334. The lion shall lie down with the lamb, but the lamb won't get much sleep. There's an honesty about that quote, which is attributed to, among other people, Woody Allen and Douglas Templeton. I mean, can you see a lion not being tempted to do what lions do if there was a lamb snuggled in beside it? In our reading from Isaiah this morning, we have a vision of a new world order. Wolves and sheep will live together in peace, and leopards will lie down with the young goats. Calves and lion cubs will feed together, and little children will take care of them. Cows and bears will eat together, and their calves and cubs will lie in peace. Lions will eat straw as cattle do, and even a baby will not be harmed if it plays near a poisonous snake. And this is to come about when a new king arises out of the line of King David. And this new king will have everyone bowing before them, we're told. Isaiah and his people lived in dire times. Isaiah was a prophet during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history, some 700 plus years before the birth of Jesus. Early in his career, which lasted for about 40 years, the kingdom of Judah became a vassal of Assyria and a rapidly expanding power in the Levant. Around 735 BC, the nations of Aram and Israel threatened to invade Jerusalem, the capital city of Judah, if King Ahaz did not join their anti-Assyrian coalition. Later, Assyria invaded Judah to suppress a rebellion by King Hezekiah in 701 BC. As a prophet, Isaiah delivered messages from Yahweh about these events to political leaders and the social elites in Jerusalem. And in our reading that we heard from Isaiah 11, the prophet looked to a time that a new leader would come. An inspirational leader will appear, one who is so closely in tune with God that his judgments are entirely fair and just. He will not be swayed by what he sees or hears from the world around him, but is guided by God's Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding which rests upon him, we read. Before this leader can appear, however, some radical changes need to take place. This new leader is described as sprouting from the stump of Jesse, Jesse being the father of King David. This new leader is related to Israel's past. He has the same blood flowing in his veins as the greatest king the nation has ever known. One who ruled in a now legendary time of prosperity and peace. But this new sprout can only come to life if the old sterile wood is cut away from the tree so only a stump remains. The technique of pollarding trees has been known since Roman times. Trees such as oak and beech or willow would be cut back to the crown to encourage the growth of multiple fine shoots for use as fuel, fence posts, or in the case of willow, for basket weaving. If pollarding metaphorically is what is required for God's people to be receptive to the new leader who will come to lead them back into the ways of righteousness and peace, then the lessons for our time start to become apparent. We have to be willing to let go of the past in order for new life to come. If we are too tentative in our pruning, letting old structures stay a bit longer out of sentiment or fear, then the new shoot will never have a chance to grow. And the new branch is nothing like the old one. It is slender, weak, seemingly insignificant by comparison with all that has been in the past. But this is the work of God's Spirit and the only way forward for future growth. We read this passage on the second Sunday in Advent because since earliest times, the Christian church has seen Jesus as the new sprout of Isaiah's vision. His story is shaped in such a way as to highlight the comparisons. It's worth noting then that the promised leader, the shoot of Jesse, is no cute little baby in a stable, but a resolute judge who will stand up for the meek of the earth while reversing the work of creation where the wicked are concerned, killing them with the breath of his lips. This new leader will have the Spirit of the Lord resting on them, And this is a promise of a person, a human king who embodies all the Israelites wanted in a leader. He will know the Lord's will and honour him, we read, and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or hearsay. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity. But, and it's a big but, there will be a new order of things. In contrast to the usual Near Eastern imagery of kings encountering predatorial animals, especially lions, and an ensuing struggle in which the righteous king is victor. It was the killing of lions that demonstrated one's worthiness to rule and was a sign of divine favor. For example, in his bid to fight Goliath, David demonstrates his royal credibility when he says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I'd catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." And David continued, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." David was not just acting in his story like a shepherd, but he was illustrating his kingness, his power too. But unlike his ancient Near Eastern contemporaries, the divinic ruler of Isaiah 11 does not hunt lions. Rather, he mysteriously remakes them. This new king will be different. Things will be different. A new world order. Wolves and sheep living together in peace, leopards lying with young goats, calves and lion cubs eating together, and little children looking after them, cows and bears eating together, and their calves and cubs settling down together too in peace, and even a baby won't be harmed if it was left playing near a poison snake. This new king, in our Christian understanding, is understood to be Jesus, the new king from the line of David. And we all know the genealogy of Jesus can be found in both Matthew and Luke's Gospels, and in one it leads from David to Jesus, and the other from Jesus to David, or back even as far as Abraham. And yet there are differences between the king of Isaiah's prophecy and Jesus. Their ministries, their way of being king, are different. Jesus certainly had a powerful ministry, and he continues to minister graciously in the present through word and sacrament and the way that we live our lives. But evil still flourishes. The poor and meek remain afflicted. Predators continue to kill their prey. Violence still exists. Indeed, the land of Jesus, is one of the most conflicted parts in our world. And the earth is far from being full of the knowledge of the Lord. If Isaiah were the criteria by which Jesus' ministry were to be judged, then one would have to conclude, on the whole, that it fell far short. Christ's victory remains a hidden victory, or even an unaccomplished one. And therefore it begs the question, was Jesus a failed Messiah? And I wouldn't blame you if you've just taken a sharp intake of breath at that suggestion. Because we know that Jesus most definitely was not a failure. But it is clear from the world that we live in that the prophecy of Isaiah was not lived out in Jesus' earthly time and has still not been lived out. And as we approach again celebrating his birth, this is brought into sharp focus. The first Sunday of Advent was about hope. And traditionally, today, the second candle that we light is about peace. The worlds of Isaiah and our world today are similar, and neither are we living in peaceful times. The lions will still snap up a lamb given half a chance. And we could all think of situations that run counter to Isaiah's utopian vision. People we love who are ill. Places in the world where there are conflicts. A world order that seems unfair. Unspeakable evil perpetrated on vulnerable people. And we could be here all day if we kept on trying to list them. I wonder if we need a new Isaiah. Someone to point us back to what things should be like. To point us to the peaceful vision God gave for his world. We don't need another Jesus. Our Jesus is enough. Jesus in his life taught us all that we need to know about how to work towards the vision that Isaiah was giving. Sometimes people are prophets without knowing it. A word, an action, and it doesn't need to be big. And then now and again, people come along who shake us all up. Think of the impact that David Attenborough has had with regards to our use of plastic. His Blue Planet program about the ocean affected people, and now more and more of us are trying to use less plastic and certainly recycle much more than we used to. And then there's Greta Thunberg, whom I extolled to you a few months ago. Just as Jesus did with the Pharisees and Sadducees, her followers have roundly been criticised by the... Her followers have roundly criticised the adult leaders of their communities. And Greta said, "How dare you?" with her whole person filled with emotion as she described the leaders of the world as obsessed with money and careless of the future of the planet. And those world leaders, many who subscribe to their values, have not been slow to rebuke Greta Thunberg. And she's faced a barrage of insults on social media and in the media in general. The powerful message she brings has a force of truth. The polar regions have a crisis we cannot control. The Amazon, the lungs of the world, have suffered irreversible damage. And the Victoria Falls are practically empty. And the people who live on the Zambezi fear they will never see its annual floods again in their lifetime. The radical protester who has a plant-based diet or eats only foraged foods or only eats sustainable raised meat or whatever the protest is a necessary part of society facing a crisis. We need to see extremes in order to get the main body of opinion to shift. The oddly dressed John the Baptist comes to mind, doesn't he? A strange insect-eating prophet pointing the way, pointing to Isaiah's promise of a someone coming. We need voices like John the Baptist, like David Attenborough's, like Greta Thunberg's, to remind us and wake us up to what's happening in our world. And then we need to walk with Jesus and act like Jesus and love like Jesus. Then and only then is there any hope of the lion and lamb snuggling down together and any hope of Advent peace coming to the world. This week, we have an election. There's no escaping it. And those of you who were here on Wednesday evening for the hustings meeting will have witnessed how impassioned some people are about the election. Maybe you're one of the impassioned, or maybe you're a little bit more meh about the whole thing. Whatever happens this week, we all have to live with the result. And it is my prayer that whatever the result, Isaiah's words can act as a reminder to us all of the world that God envisaged. We know our world is not perfect and unlikely ever to be so. Isaiah's vision is just that, a vision of the ideal. And yet God created this world, the one that we live in. I finish with a reflective prayer written by one of my colleagues in the Spill the Beans writing team. And they wrote this. A world of vegetarian lions and mild-mannered leopards. It's very kind of you, God, but no thank you. That wouldn't be much fun on a safari holiday, would it, if the lions were all chewing the cud and the wolves were on crash duty? David Attenborough might finally have to retire. A world in which children could play safely with wild animals and parents needn't worry if their toddlers were out of sight. Now, that's tempting, God, but no, because children in that world wouldn't be real children, and snakes wouldn't be real snakes. A world without danger, without even the possibility of harm. Please don't be offended, God, but the answer is still no. No danger means no need for courage or self-sacrifice, no urgency about working for change, no need for the strong to look out for the weak. This is the world that you made, God, and not some perfect other. This is the world that you looked on and smiled and said it was good. This is the world that you loved and still do and always will. Help us to care for it together. Help us work for peace together. Amen. We continue to worship this time in our offering. Let us pray. Creator God, source of life and love, hope and peace. You have given us life. We give our lives to you. You have surrounded us with love, drawing us to love you in return. When all seems dark and hopeless, you give us a beautiful vision of our world and all its creatures living in perfect harmony. As we bring you these tokens of money, we commit ourselves to living, loving, hoping, and working for peace in your Son's name. Amen. Can I just say how different it is to stand here and see a different view of everyone? I'll have to do this more often. It's probably just got a slightly different view. Anyway, we're going to sing again. This time our hymn is 252, As a Fire Is Meant for Burning. Hymn 252. Turn now to God with our prayer for the world. Let us pray. God of righteousness and justice, we give thanks for the high standards that the Bible expects of people in power, even if, as people of the world, we have failed more often than we have succeeded in living up to them. Amidst all the opportunities there are for politicians to indulge their appetite for power, for business people to grow rich at the expense of the poor, for religious leaders to exploit the trust that is placed in them, we give thanks for people of integrity in all these walks of life. And for Jesus, who fulfilled the hopes of his people and the long-ago vision of the prophet in so many ways. He was confident, but never arrogant, wise, but not superior, strong but not a bully, good but never self-righteous or judgmental. Living God, we pray for the people who were always his chief concern, the little ones who needed to be protected and whose trust must never be abused. We pray for adults living with the scars of childhood neglect or abuse, her children forced to grow up too soon, and those who may not get the chance to grow up at all. We pray for all whose lives and whose hopes have been cut short by war, for homes and churches riven by conflict. We pray for victims of injustice, those accused of crimes they have not committed, while others escape unpunished because they have money and influence. As we await the coming of the just judge, the compassionate king, the prince of peace, may we not rest until this world is as close as it possibly can be to the peaceable kingdom of which the prophet dreamed, and that Jesus was born, lived, and died to establish here on earth. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Our closing hymn is 710. I have a dream, a man once said. Hymn 710. Vision be our companion. May we find new life everywhere. May we speak into the silence and trust the one who is bringing new hope to us all. Go in peace, a peace that has wolves and lambs playing together. In that peace we go, with the love of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit with us always.